Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, April 19th, 2017. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando's stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the podcast, I'm talking with Tim Hicks about his family's cruise on the Disney Dream, and welcome back to the show, Tim.
Speaking of distractions, hello, everyone.
So, you know, we've had you on the show talking about cruise vacations before. We know how much you love Disney Cruise Line. This one had, always there's some unique twist. This time, you had some family that was traveling along with you that had never been on a Disney cruise before.
Right. Last year, in January 2016, it was a getaway for my wife and myself. We kind of did a land and sea thing, and you can hunt back through the podcast history and hear that recording. This one was entirely different because we took our boys with us this time. Our youngest will be graduating high school here in a couple of months. Well, actually next month, I suppose. And this was a graduation trip for him. And my wife's brother and sister-in-law came along with us too.
All right. So, I forgot about that. This is the next chapter in, Tim's continuing quest to avoid the Diz Dads Club convention.
Well, you know, after the madness of last year's election, which I lost, and the thrill of jumping into a new job, which I am so excited about. Things did not fall into place this year, but DDCC6, here I come. I'm all about it.
We'll believe it when we see it.
Yeah. When I show up at the door with beer, that's
then,
when you'll be like,
then we'll definitely
damn!
Believe it.
Yeah.
All right.
Speaking of beer, let me release the Kraken here real quick. Good stuff.
All right. So you've got a bigger group that you're traveling with just in your immediate family, plus some extended family coming along. So talk about the planning aspects of, putting this cruise together with a larger group than just you and your wife.
Well, yeah, this is, I'll jump right on this one. The first time that we went was just incredibly magical because it was just my wife and I, and we already had some expectation of the Disney cruise. We'd done our research and we know that it's the top rated cruise line in the industry. We know that or we had heard that the kids are really pretty much not to be seen unless it's dinner time or something, and that was our experience in the first cruise. This one was a bit different. The first time, we didn't realize that the room right next to us was a handicap accessible room. Didn't realize they had those on board the ship. So this time we took advantage and booked that. Okay. We booked a separate stateroom for the boys. They're 21 and 18, so they got their own space to have fun with. Now, the 21-year-old, well, neither of the boys have ever cruised, but with the oldest having just turned 21 last November, he was very interested in the nightlife area, the adult areas of the ship.
Right. So newly accessible to him.
Exactly. But then with my wife's sister and brother in law along, hello, Adam, if you're listening. It was a little bit different in the planning. We just kind of threw it together last summer when we were together, and we decided, hey, let's just book this cruise in January. It was a great time for us. let's just do that again. It's a good time frame. You know, it's always in late January, it's the least expensive and the least crowded anyway. And it's a great getaway in the middle of winter besides that. So we planned it. Well, the day before the election in November, I got a phone call from a potential employer. And you know, we went through the rounds and rounds of interviews and all the prep, and I wound up, you know, accepting the job offer in December. And I had to tell them, hey, look, you know, there's a little caveat here.
I'm going to disappear for a week. Yeah,
I'm going to be there for 2 weeks and then I'm going to be gone a week. And I think that should just become company policy. You work 2 weeks, you're off for a week. They didn't go for that so much, but they did let me have my vacation. That was pre-planned and pre-paid for.
Excellent. Well, that was awful kind of them. So you got this vacation booked, you know, pretty good chunk of time out, booking for a relatively low crowd time, even on the cruise line there in January. You said you booked a handicapped accessible room for you. You booked an adjacent room for the boys. What stateroom categories were those in?
I can't remember the category right off the top of my head. It was on the fifth deck.
Okay.
And here's another little tidbit. If you ever have a need to book an accessible room, the rooms that are connecting to them, they typically hold back in inventory, and even travel agents don't necessarily have access to those. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron, but I was told by a Disney cast member that I really have to call them and ask them to transfer me over to the inventory people to find out if the adjoining stateroom is actually available. So
yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I think that part of what they're trying to deal with, and it's interesting to me that they were upfront with you about it and about how that works. But I think that for a while there, they were having some real issues with people booking handicap accessible rooms that didn't actually need them because they liked the extra floor space.
Right.
You know, the open space on the floor.
Right. Because it's a big room.
Yeah. Which is kind of, you know, necessary for people like, you know, Angie to be able to maneuver around sometimes.
Exactly.
But anyway, I think some of it may have to do, and this is purely speculation on my part, but I think some of it may have to do with them holding some of those rooms so that if they need to, they can, you know, call somebody up and say, okay, we've got somebody who really needs a handicap accessible room. Is this something that you need, or would it be okay if we moved you to an adjacent room?
Right. And actually, on our very first cruise, the room that we had was the connecting room to the accessible room. We mm-hmm. just didn't know. That's what the deal was.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's because that was one of those that we just kind of, you know, did the room, the guarantee room, where, you know, we don't get a room number until the last minute, per se. But, you know, and that's typically when you get the, you know, the upper decks and, you know, the rooms like that they hold back in inventory.
Interesting. All right. So ocean view rooms, it sounds like, or veranda?
It would be an ocean view. There was not a veranda on the fifth deck. I think I know there is on the ninth deck where we were last year, but that was not available. We went with a fifth deck, which was really a whole different experience for us. And, you know, the difference between cruise one and cruise two was very marked in that on the two bigger ships, the Dream and the Fantasy, the fifth deck is also the deck where all the kids clubs are. So the whole notion of never seeing kids except for when it's mealtime went right out the window first day. because we had to go past all those kids clubs to get back to our stateroom.
Oh, right.
But
yeah. So maybe not the same choice you would make in the future, huh?
Right. Now, if you're taking kids on the cruise, great place to be because you take a few steps and there you go. You can check them in.
Right.
There are a lot of benefits to that I didn't realize until this cruise either, in terms of having your kids in the, you know, checked into the kids areas. For example, the table right next to us. And you know, on Disney cruises, you know, it's rotational meals through the different restaurants, and you get the same waiters that, you know, the same wait staff that goes with you through all the restaurants. Okay. The table next to us, they had a young girl. I would say she was maybe 5, maybe 6 at the most. And I got to see the Disney magic for kids in action, because what they would do every night at dinner was, before any of the rest of us were served anything, they already had the kids' meal out on the table so the kid could get started on her food. You know, by the time we were eating our, you know, we were getting our entree, she was already finishing up dessert. Well, as she finished up her dessert, they had staff from the kids clubs that came to the restaurant to pick her up and take her back to the kids club so that mom and dad can finish their meal in peace and quiet. So that was a little bonus thing that I had not heard of, hadn't seen until this trip.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that ability to do that. And frankly, our kids loved it.
Well, yeah, I mean, any excuse to get away from mom and dad and do what they want to and have some fun, right?
Pretty much, pretty much. All right, well, let's talk a little bit more then about some of the specific aspects of the cruise itself. You know, you were back on the Disney Dream, so it's a ship you were familiar with. What were maybe a couple of things that you felt like, you know, you either got to do or knew to do because you'd been on it before, that, you know, you can maybe give people a little insight on, right? So maybe they can skip that first time cruiser experience and get your veteran view.
You know, that's a really good question, because everything that I expected based on the first visit was basically flipped upside down on the second visit. So for example, right? They always do a DVC member reception when you first get on the boat. So like, what is it, 2 o'clock in the afternoon? And it runs for, last time we did it was maybe an hour. This time it was an hour and a half. First time there were lots of prizes. The cruise director was awesome. He was funny. He was very engaging. This time she was kind of boring. Not very many prizes to be had. And quite frankly, we would rather been doing something else. So it's a luck of the draw on what you're going to get there. But yeah, it's like I said, everything was a little bit different than before. You know, you get a different wait staff. They still are going to just bend over backwards to get to know you and get to know your likes and dislikes. But, you know, you have to grant the fact that everyone has their individual style. So there were, you know, there were things that went well the first time that maybe didn't go quite so well the second time. But then there were the reverse was true. For example, our assistant waiter this time was extremely engaging. He would come to our table and you know, tell us jokes or teach us little, you know, little tricks with straws, what have you. So, you know, it's like you think you know what to expect, but then not quite really. So you know, there were a lot of things like that. They were just kind of fun and interesting.
Right. All right. Well, that's in and of itself kind of interesting. So we won't try and skip the line, so to speak, and just take the experience as it comes. So maybe we should just take this cruise experience as it comes. Talk a little bit about the boarding process, which you'd done before. So first of all, had you prepped your kids and the other relatives for the grand entrance that is boarding the Disney Cruise Line?
Yes, that's a great lead and great segue here. What we decided to do the night before, my family was staying at the boardwalk, and the extended family was staying across the walkway there at the beach club. And so we just made arrangements to for all of us to be picked up at the beach club. That caused some confusion on the staff members' part, but you know, it's something that with a couple of phone calls we worked it out. It was really no big deal, but. Given that it was the kiddos' graduation trip, I had T-shirts made up for everybody that said "Infamous Parker," which is his Skype moniker, "Infamous Parker's Graduation Adventure." So, you know, they were like, okay, you know. So I made sure everybody wore them on the day of embarkation. I will say this: when you take the Disney Magical Express from Disney World over to Port Canaveral, You automatically get priority in terms of getting checked in. So it's no, you know, waiting for this time or that time or whatever time to get checked in. You just go right in and you walk right into the line and you get done. So we got in there, we got through the whole sign-in process, got our room badges and everything. And the boys had no idea what to expect in terms of even boarding the ship. So number one, just driving up on the bus and seeing the ship out the window, it was almost like, you know, they were face to the window, you know, making grease spots on the window, if you will. Yeah, going, wow, because, you know, there's no amount of telling them, you know, this thing is huge.
Right.
That will prepare them for what they're going to see when they actually see it for the first time. And I love that experience. I really do. We step onto the, you know, through that little walkway. Well, first of all, you go through a funnel that, you know, is shaped in Mickey ears.
Right.
You
know, right.
Which everything is just attention to detail everywhere you look. But when you take that last little few steps up the ramp onto the on the ship, you have the ability to tell the person that is announcing the guests as they come on board how you would like your party announced. So I just showed them my t-shirt and made sure we embarrassed, you know, the Pewaddleins out of my 18-year-old. Disney Dream welcomes Infamous Parker's graduation adventure. And you got all these cast members clapping, and you know, perfect. My 18-year-old is hating me for this, but I don't think he really hated it. I think he actually kind of enjoyed it because it's rather unique.
Sure.
So, yeah, that was the boarding experience.
Very cool. So you all board together, and do you have any, you know, any like boarding time or boarding day ritual that you've developed, or any particular plan for that first time when you'd just gotten on board?
Ooh, good question. We got into the Facebook group, and if you're planning to do a cruise, definitely go hunting for the Facebook group that corresponds to your cruise, because it's all people that are going to be on your cruise. That's where we set up the fish extender thing, and if you don't know what that is, you can look it up. It's kind of a fun little gift exchange between, you know, guests on the cruise. We wound up actually having to set up two mixology classes because there were so many people in that page that were interested. So what I had done in preparation for the cruise is said, okay, well, you know, the first time that we went on this cruise, we were able to go up on deck 12. Deck 11 is where the launch party happens. And deck 12, you can still look down and see the party, but you can also look off the edge of the ship and you know, wave goodbye to the people that stand on the pier and wave at you.
Sure, sure.
So I had made this 10-foot long sign, okay, that, you know, basically said, you know, this is the cruise, you know, meetup group from, you know, Facebook group. And I designed it so that everybody that was in the Facebook group that came to the castaway party could, you know, take my Sharpie and sign the sign. And I thought, yeah, this is going to be a cool little keepsake. Well, lo and behold, this time around, it was rather chilly and extremely windy. It was all I could do to hang on to the sign in the first place.
You're trying to keep from getting swept overboard.
That's right. The sign was, you know, all but lost. I mean, I'm white knuckle gripping the thing so it doesn't get ripped out of my hands. But they had actually moved the sail away party inside to the great big atrium inside the ship. So, you know, I'm kind of at a loss in terms of the fact that, you know, I told everybody to, you know, to meet on deck 12 and we'd get together and say hello to each other and all that happy stuff as we sailed away. But since the party got moved inside, it's like, okay, so what do we do? So I said, you know, I committed to be on deck 12. We'll just go to deck 12 and tough it out. Wow. And it wasn't that it was that cold. It was just extremely windy.
Yeah. And it's got to be really darn windy if they're going to move that party indoors. Cause you know, it's really not the same event if they have to do it indoors.
That's exactly right. And, man, it was windy. I tell you what, listening to my mother-in-law talk couldn't have been more windy. I'm just saying. but I did, you know, walk up and down the walkway and found a couple of the families that that were there for the, you know, for my, for the castaway party or the sail away party, and, you know, talked to them, got to know them a little bit, got them to sign the banner. And I actually ran into them a few more times during the cruise, but, you know, that was the whole thing, was kind of creating a small community of folks. And I do this at work too, you know, creating a small community of folks that, get together and hang out if you want to. You don't have to if you don't want to, but, you know, to the extent that, example, that same group was, was set to meet up the next day for our mixology class. It made it a little more interesting because you've already, you know, had some opportunities to talk to each other on social media before you get on the ship. And then you put the faces and the names together, and you already have some things that you know about each other. Like there was a newlywed couple and, you know, that sort of thing like that. So, you know, you have already had a basis of things to talk about with other people. So it wasn't quite as socially awkward when you, you know, when you got together.
Right, right. You've got at least a you know, passing acquaintance with these people before you run into them for the first time on the ship.
Exactly. And there were people that, you know, I would walk by them just somewhere on the ship and they go, "Oh, hey, you're that guy from the Facebook group." I'm like, "Oh, yep, that's me." And that happened the whole cruise, you know, just about well, it did happen every day, sometimes 2-3 times a day.
So if you were active in the Facebook group for your cruise before the cruise, were you also involved in a fish extender exchange?
My wife and I actually chose not to do the fish extender this time. We did it the first time.
Right.
And it was fun. But with everything else that was going on in our life at the time, we just didn't want the stress of having to, you know, come up with that stuff again this time. We'll probably do it again in the future. We just didn't want to do it this time around.
Sure. Yeah,
but even so, there were people that were participating in the group that, you know, that just had extra stuff and made sure they came by and, you know, gave us their leftovers, if you will.
Sure. All right. So you had a nice sense of community really going from the beginning, even with the windy days. So that's always a good thing. And your first night dining, where did you start your rotation?
We started in the Royal Garden, or Royal Palace. I forget what it's called.
The Royal Palace.
Right, right. That was the first night. And that's where we started getting to know, you know, the wait staff for the trip. And true to the Disney service, you know, the first night, you know, we roll in, my wife, you know, comes in her wheelchair, and they know, you know, they have to pull away a chair at our table. Never again did we show up that a chair wasn't already removed from the table. I mean, this is nice. The attention that Disney staff that they pay to you. You know, I don't know how many tables each server has to tend to, but you have to think it can't be that many because they just know you. They know all about you.
Okay, yeah, and it's a great example of the way that they prepare for you. You know, the same thing with having drinks ready and things like that. It's just once they get that initial impression, you know, their goal is to make each of those meal experiences pretty much as if you're dining in your own home, to the extent that, you know, it's everything's ready for you.
And I saw something that I had never seen before, and you can probably help me out with this a little bit because I didn't understand. The table, okay, I told you the table on one side was a couple with their little 5-6-year-old daughter. The table on the other side of us were, I know they were Jewish, but they wanted everything served on paper plates with plastic utensils, and everything was wrapped in foil. Can you help me out with that?
I can. They were very observant and trying very much to keep kosher while they were traveling. And the problem is that China is porous. And so once things that aren't kosher are on a China plate, it can't then be made kosher again because it's porous. And so anything that was not kosher gets in the crevices and things, and there's just no comfort level.
There's no.
It's sufficiently clean. It's actually
cleansed, right. Okay.
Yeah. So the only alternatives are either completely new dishware, which, you know, there are probably a few places out there that do it, but it's rare and nobody really expects it. But, you know, they'll serve on on obviously substitute, you know, paper that obviously hasn't been used before. And the foil and everything means that the meals that they were eating probably came onto the ship with them, prepackaged. And all they're doing on board is heating them up, which is kind of unfortunate. You know, that's a tough situation when you're trying to keep kosher and travel. Disney Cruise Line does as well as really anybody else does. I don't know that any of them handle it brilliantly, just because it's not possible. I mean, from a space consideration issue, unless you had a kosher ship.
Well, right, really, and the fact that you're trying to handle that, you know, that many passengers, that many guests at a time, I can see that that would be a real problem. But the fact that Disney went out of their way to make sure that everything was handled absolutely perfectly, start to finish, for that family was just, you know, that was another real eye opener. I had not seen that happen before.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Good experience with your wait staff in general, it sounds like. So you started your rotations in the Royal Court. Did you have a favorite dining room on this cruise, other than adults only? We'll talk about adults only separately. But do you have a favorite of the main dining rooms?
You know, it's really funny. The first time that we went, we thought that the Enchanted Garden was kind of like it's probably the least done of all three of the dining rooms, but it became our favorite, and probably because we had lunch there and two dinners there on our first cruise, you know, that one of the two we chose to go back, and there's a whole story behind that one. But this time we did the Royal Palace first night. We did Art of Animation the next two nights in a row, which we incidentally did not do on the first cruise, because we skipped.
Because that was your Palo night.
Yes, that was our Palo night. So we didn't get to do that at all. And I thought, oh man, we really missed something really cool. So I was really looking forward to that. But in my opinion, it was a bit on the crowded side. It was a lot more noisy than the other two venues were. It was really cool. You know, the things that they do with it, and you know, the magic that they make happen on screen with, you know, Crush swimming up to the tables that are right there and talking to them, and, you know, kind of the Turtle Talk with Crush experience. But while you're having dinner on board a ship, pretty cool. But, you know, when we got to our last night and went back to the Enchanted Gardens, it kind of felt like, ah, we're home, because there was a little more distance between us and the other tables. And again, you know, we had that personalized service from our wait staff. I suppose, a little more intimate for our own family to be able to, you know, to have the opportunity to sit and really have good conversation with one another.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that's one of the things I like about the main dining rooms on the Disney ships, is that they each do have a personality.
Yes.
You know, Royal Court is the one that sort of feels the fanciest, I think. I don't know. That's always been my impression.
I totally agree. And if you look around the Royal Palace, I mean, like the bread basket is a carriage.
You know,
like the pumpkin carriage.
Yeah.
If you look at the main chandelier, there are blue glass slippers hanging around the edges of the chandelier. So there are a lot of touches that really, you know, lead to Cinderella and the whole royal aspect. So it definitely has that character.
Yeah. And then you go to, you know, Animator's Palette. And as you described it, it's the one that is the sort of high energy. It's really all about the spectacle and the show. It's the most sort of garishly designed. Not in a bad way, but in the colors pop, they're bright. It's designed to be that way intentionally.
It's meant to, you know, it's meant to attract attention everywhere you look.
Yeah, exactly. And then, as you were just talking about, Enchanted Garden is the sort of serene, relaxed, it's the chill place, it seemed to me.
Yeah, and that's really how we looked at it too. It was really chill, which was really nice for the last night of the cruise. So yeah, it was, like I said, it was kind of a homecoming experience, because we did spend, you know, more time in that particular venue than the others on our first cruise, and we had not seen it at all up until that last night on this cruise.
The big thing for me with the difference between the four night and the three night, because a lot of people say, oh, come on, it can't be that big a difference. Three nights is so much cheaper. You know, we can do the three night. But the killer is that if you only do three nights, then you don't get to experience what each of those rotational dining rooms, like its real personality. It's not possible because one night's going to be a pirate night one way or the other. And so you either get only pirate night from one of those restaurants, or you get them each once regularly, but you don't get a night that you could go to a Palo or a Rimi.
Exactly. That's the other point I was going to bring up. If you want to do, you know, a special dining experience like Palo, and I highly recommend that, then you wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah.
Or if you did, you would miss the experience of one of the dining rooms. Exactly right. You miss the character.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of at least the four night, just because, you know, that's how you get the full experience. And as we were just talking about, each one is so different.
Right, and it's absolutely worth experiencing every single one of them. It really is.
Yeah. So you talked about Enchanted Garden being your favorite experience this time around. You thought. You did also do, it sounded like, an adult dining experience. So did you go back to Palo, or did you try Rimi this time?
No, we didn't do an adult experience this time around.
Oh, you didn't do it. Okay.
No, it was especially since there were six of us, and, you know, that becomes a little more problematic, especially with the 18-year-old who's off doing his own thing. That's a whole nother part of the story.
Okay. But, yeah, well, we'll circle back to that in a minute then.
Yeah. Yeah, we just wanted to just continue with the – because the rotational dining experience is just a treat. It really is.
Yeah. So you got to experience all the rotational dining rooms. You did the Pirate Night deal. Which restaurant did you double up on for the Pirate Night?
That was Art of Animation.
Okay. So you were back in Animator's Palette a second time, but it's without their
usual show. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Animator's Palette. Right, but without the usual show because – you know, the whole theme was different. The pace even seemed different that night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. Well, because it's all building to the show.
Right.
For the Pirates in the Caribbean show. So talk then a little bit, as you were hinting already, at there being a different kind of experience, you know, traveling basically multi-generationally, right? You had people doing different things because, you know, they were had clearly different interests, different focus on the trip.
Right. And I tell you, I really was the most worried about my 18-year-old because he's kind of reclusive. Okay. He's a lot reclusive. So, you know, I was worried that, you know, he would be even interested in doing the older teens club, which is called Vibe, and, you know, getting involved in that. But much to my pleasure and surprise, you know, he tried it, you know, early on in the cruise. And, you know, the next thing you know, even when we're ready to call it a night, he was like, yeah, I'm going to go hang with my friends up in Vibe. I'm like, okay, that's great.
Awesome.
And if you've done this with an 18-year-old or a 16-year-old before, you probably already know this. They actually film a movie on the ship. It's called Zombified.
Okay.
And on the last night that you're on the ship, they have a premiere screening in one of the two onboard theaters. And come to find out that my little reclusive 18-year-old has become the most popular in the group. They named him King of the Vibe Group. And he had some fairly significant parts in the Zombified movie. And it's pretty cool because it's obviously something that they, you know, repeat cruise after cruise. But, you know, so they allow you to take out your, you know, camera or your phone or whatever and you know, tape what they're screening. So, it's less than a B-run movie, shall we say. But, you know, the fact that they spent time, you know, every day during the cruise, because you can tell based on what my kid was wearing that, you know, they filmed some segments every single day.
Okay.
And then, you know, they plop that thing together on the last day and do a screening in the theater. And, you know, that was exciting for him to get to see that happen. So, you know, I'm so happy that, you know, he took my little bit of encouragement to just give it a try and see what you think about it. And he just blossomed like a little flower.
That's awesome.
He would kill me if he heard me say that, but, you know, he did.
All right. So now we have our episode title, something about blossoming like a little flower.
A little flower blossom. My 18-year-old son, he would so murder me for that. If I wind up dead, folks, you heard it here first.
So I think that's great. And I mean, the thing about Vibe, I think, more than anything else, is that because it is the oldest group of kids, the success of that program, you know, the cast, or I'm sorry, they're not supposed to be cast members on the boats. They're crew members.
Crew members, yes.
The crew members do a terrific job of doing that initial engagement and trying to encourage them and get the thing rolling. But it really depends on the kids. And it sounds like, you know, your son kind of hooked up with a good group of kids that were interested in doing this together and, you know, ran with it. And that's fantastic. And I think it happens more often than not, but, I guess all I would say is that, the attitude you took to it, I think was perfect. You know, encouraging him to just go check it out, because the kids in that 16 to 18 range, it's as long as they start it with an open mind, I think they can really enjoy it like your son did. So many of them on that first day, though, are just like they're not ready to do that.
And I think the crew members really have a knack. They've developed a knack for, you know, for getting everyone to come out of their shells and just be who they are and let them be who they are and, you know, mix things up and find people that, you know, they've got things with whom they have things in common. And I really think that's, you know, like I said, it wound up being that he would go, you know, hang out on deck 11 where they can get, you know, free soda with, you know, one or two of his buddies in the evening. So, and there were occasions that the Vibe Club was even open until like 1 a.m. So they wanted to go hang out there. Great.
Yeah, right, right. So, good experience for the 18-year-old. And then you mentioned that, you know, your 21-year-old son was hanging out in the adult district with the adults, you know, with the rest of the crowd.
Yeah. When we were planning this whole thing and, you know, he caught wind of the fact that we were doing a mixology class, you know, and his little antenna went up, boing, doo, 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 doo. Yeah. He's like, can I do that too? I'm like, absolutely. You can do it. You're 21. Let's do this. Let's have some fun together. And so going to mixology, you know, he was probably a little bit apprehensive about overdoing anything. But of course, you know, let me put it like this. $20 for an hour and a half mixology class where you come out, you know, wasted off of your butt. It's about the best $20 investment you're ever going to make as far as that goes. But a lot of the times he would be, you know, like if he got up and he was the one that was making the drink, he would try the drinks a little bit, but then he'd usually hand them to me to finish. Go figure. Mr. Hockey.
So dad was getting doubles.
Yeah. Which was not unlike the first time. The first time that we did it, they just let us stay seated at the little tables. We were there in Cityscape?
Yeah.
Where they have the projections of different cities on the back wall, which is a really cool experience if you've never done that. But the first time they just let us stay seated in our pods, and they just kind of brought the bottles of alcohol around, and we were kind of less than monitored, shall we say. So I think they changed that policy a little bit, and you had to actually go up to the bar and let the bartender, you know, teach you how to pour, and then he'd come around and see if you poured enough or too much or whatever the case might be. But, you know, so he would try a couple of, you know, he would try sometimes more than a little bit of the drink before he handed it off to me to finish. But, you know, he didn't wind up, you know, being in as bad a shape as I think he even thought he would be. So, cool. The very last day, which of course was just at sea, the pirate party had already been done. It was just, you know, there wasn't that much left. He was like, hey dad, let's do a pub crawl. I'm like, wait a minute. You know this term, pub crawl. Okay. Well, if you're game, let's do it. So I grabbed his aunt, my wife's sister, and we started hitting one or two of the places, and you know, we just decided we'd do like a drink, a martini or something at each location. And we actually started at the Bon Voyage, which is just there in the center atrium when you get on the boat. And we started with a drink there. He was good with that. We went to the next one, and I ordered him a drink. And he finishes that drink, and he looks at me, and he goes, "Hey, Dad, why do you think my alcohol proof level is?" And I'm like, "Okay, you're wasted. Time to go back to your room and take a nap.
Time to drink some water.
Ooh, little water." Yeah, we didn't hear from him for a couple more hours after that. Went back to the room and took a nap. It's like a lightweight, but hey, it's all good. It was fun.
Probably a good sign that he's a lightweight.
Well, exactly. And it was an experience that, you know, his mom wasn't there with us at the time. She was off doing something else. So it was a great time for him and me to do that.
Sure.
Just have some time together. So
it's a nice safe environment for that experience too. It's not like, you know, you weren't even in a place where you had to be concerned about, you know, stepping out in front of a car or something. I mean,
exactly.
You know, you're not going to get too close to the rails in the windy day. But
no, he wasn't interested in getting close to any rails anywhere. So no, he was good. You'll have that experience too one day, my friend. But anyway, so that was really cool. That was a fun, you know, father-son experience.
Yeah, it's a nice rite of passage moment overall, really, to have the 21-year-old hanging with the big kids, you know?
That's a good way of putting it. His aunt was just cracking up at him because he was, he was a little over the edge. But I would rather he did it in a controlled environment where I'm with him, that, you know, it's not going to cause any problems. You know, right. He's completely safe. You know, if he's had a little much, he can lay down and sleep it off. No big deal.
Right. Well, let's move to another topic here and talk a little bit about onboard entertainment, you know, aside from the you know, movie produced by teens. What were some of the highlights for you of the onboard entertainment this trip?
Wow. You know, this trip, we spent more time in the movie theater than we did last time. That was kind of remarkable to me that, you know, we would do that, but they were showing all the great first run movies. And we went and sat, you know, very close to the screen to watch Doctor Strange in 3D.
Oh,
and that,
cool.
That was wild. I mean, some of the movies that are 3D, you go, yeah, I could do just as well without it. But seeing Doctor Strange in 3D was amazing, and I didn't even want to go see the movie in the first place. But, you know, I went along, you know, not begrudgingly. I was happy to do it.
Right.
You know, but it's, you know, hour and a half out of my life that is just fine. I'm on vacation. But I was more than a little thrilled and happy that we had done that. But, you know, that speaks to the way the movies are done on board. You know, all the good movies come out even the first day that they're out in the theater. If they're like last year, the Star Wars Episode 7, the day that it premiered in the theaters was the day it premiered on the ships.
So you
get to see everything first run. Wow, there are so many things to do that we wanted to do and just, you know, couldn't drag ourselves up to do it, not because we were lazy, but just because there are so many things to do. There was a Match Your Spouse game that I think would have been a lot of fun, and we were wanting to do it, but like I said, we kind of were either caught up in something else or caught up relaxing. Karaoke is always good, as you know, if you know me and my wife, and you do. We always tend to surprise the karaoke host. I don't know why. I mean, I suppose you think, you know, a lady in a wheelchair can't sing, but, you know, that'd be completely wrong.
Well, especially when she rises up out of the chair.
And the fact of the matter is she only uses the chair to go long distances. And if you've been in the hallways of the Disney Dream, those are long distances. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in a short distance environment, she's just fine. She'll get up, walk around, sit on a chair, whatever it is. You know, especially if she's got me right there to help her, you know, if she runs into any trouble or anything, that's no big deal. So, Yeah, that's it kind of takes people by surprise, but you know, people, and if I could emphasize anything about this, it's that, you know, you got to give people in a wheelchair a chance, because they're just the same as you and me. They're just trying to live their lives in the way that they can best do it. You know, it's not like they've got something that's catching.
Right, right.
So, you know, just treat them like anybody else. Be respectful. You know, don't avoid them for any reason like that. You know what we tried this time that we had not done before was the rainforest area and the spa area. Have you ever done that?
I have not, but I've heard wonderful things.
Oh, it's so cool. If you go up in that area, and the day pass is really inexpensive. I mean, I want to say it's like $16, maybe $18 per person per day. And you have access to the entire rainforest area. So part of the area is out on a private area of the deck. They have actually two hot tubs. And of course, this is an adults only area. So it's not like you got kids splashing around the hot tubs. You can get in the hot tubs that are right on the, you know, the edge of the deck, and, you know, just enjoy the view of the ocean or wherever it is that you are. There are several, I guess the best name for them would be loungers. They are curved bed kind of things that you lay on, but they're hot stones. They're tile and they're heated. So it's almost the same as a hot stone massage without the massage part. But anyway, it's very relaxing. You could take a nap there and be very, very relaxed. But the really cool part about it was the various rainforest showers. I think there were like four, maybe four showers, where you go in and you push these buttons in the showers and they give you all these different effects. It might be thunder and lightning. It might be a cold blast followed by a warm blast followed by a cold blast. You know, there are different combinations of water temperatures and lighting and sound effects that that go on. And it's really kind of entertaining to try every single one of them. It's like, oh, what does this one do? What does this one do? Oh my God, I'm freezing to death. Somebody turn on the hot water. go in the sauna or something, warm up. That was a lot of fun. Anyway, for the cheap price that it takes to get in, it's an experience you should do. It's fun. Right.
Well, it's a good point too, is that it's a nice, you know, it's a good experience and it's a real value, because you get a you know, no, it's not a 60-minute or a 50-minute whatever massage, but you get a spa experience, and it's reasonably priced.
Very reasonably priced. And you can do a steam bath, or you can do a sauna, or they have another room, and I forget what it's called, but it's a combination of the sauna and steam bath. And that's where I spent the majority of my time as far as that portion goes, right, as much as a person can stand being in the hot humidity. But, you know, it's very, very good for, you know, clearing out the pores and actually clearing your head a little bit.
So you get a great experience at the rainforest, and your usual star turns at karaoke. talk a little bit then about your ports. I mean, you know, the ports on the Bahamas cruise are obviously, you know, generally not the highlight, but you've got stops in Nassau and Castaway Cay. Did you have anything in particular planned for your ports of call?
Well, this is a not suitable for work, not suitable for kids portion of the podcast. There were only two things that I wanted to do in Nassau. One was, the first time I went to Nassau, I didn't get to try any of the local beer. I wanted to have a local beer. So I had the Sands beer, which is a Bahamian beer. And to tell you the honest to God's truth, it was not unlike Corona Light. This is probably the closest thing I could come to it is Corona Light. It was very tasty and cold and great. And, you know, the people there were just awesome to talk to and hang out with. The other thing I wanted was a T-shirt from a place called the Bearded Clam. That has its connotations.
We don't need to explain it. And right. Anybody who can figure it out is old enough to understand.
But the subtitle to the place is Husband Daycare. So yeah, I wanted to. I am starting a collection of T-shirts from all the offbeat, you know, bars from that I can find around the world, you know, but as I expand my travels.
Right.
So
right.
I wanted to have that one. As far as the shopping experience is concerned, I think it's just fun to go into the great big, it's like a big warehouse. I forget exactly what
they call it. The straw market.
Yeah, the straw market. Thank you very much. And just, you know, see and talk to the people. And I'm not going to buy anything from most people. If I see anything that strikes my interest, I will. But the interesting thing that struck my interest about one particular booth was the young lady that was running it, because it was like she was so unlike the rest of the people in the whole market. She was almost too timid and afraid to even come up and talk to you. But you know, there were some interesting things in her shop, and you know, my wife and I struck up a conversation with her, and you know, she was just really a delightful young lady. So, you know, whereas in other places in the straw market, we might, you know, haggle out a price on this or that, and they're more than happy to haggle. In this case, we actually bought something from the young lady and gave her some extra money just because she was an awesome person. You know, she was, you could tell this was not her main profession, and but she was just so sweet, so kind, and just not expecting anything of anybody. And those are the kinds of people I gravitate towards, and I just do, you know, extra things for people like that. So yeah, she actually wound up with a little keep the change treatment from us.
Okay.
Castaway Key, that was fantastic.
I'm glad to hear that. I was a little concerned when we started the show because you were talking about the weather and how windy it was. And high wind is the one thing that in my experience at least, can kind of get in the way at Castaway Key.
Well, and the thing was, it was that first night during sail away, and then it was gone. You know, the rest of the time was just perfect. It was beautiful. But when we got to Castaway Key, it was sunny. It was warm. You know, we got off the ship and we bypassed the family beach because, you know, my wife and I had done that before. Yeah, no big deal there. And the kids wanted to go over to the adults only beach, which only the 18-year-old was probably a little young. We just didn't tell anybody. He looks old enough. Trust me, he looks old. He looks older than my 21-year-old. But so, you know, we found our perches on the beach and ordered some nice drinks from the cabana boy, and the two boys went wading out into the shallows of the area where you can go, and they waded all the way out there, and they saw some really great things. It was fun as a parent, as a dad, to sit there on the beach and watch the boys just, you know, they waded out there, and you could tell, oh, look, they saw something, because then they crouched down and the water is so clear that they can see right through to it. And you know, they crouched down, and they actually had found a giant starfish right on the edge of the waiting area that they were watching. So you know, just the fact, just watching them experience the whole notion of being in clear water where you can see fish swimming around your ankles and it's no big deal. And they didn't freak out about it. They thought it was cool. Wow. As a dad, that's one of those moments you live for.
Sure. All of those moments of wonder are, to me, like that's why it's worth it to travel, you know, is that you get opportunities for those moments of wonder that you don't get otherwise.
Exactly. And, you know, in the in-state lakes and streams and things like that, you don't get to see things like that. You don't see this vast beach area that the water is so crystal clear. And the color is the blue that you've always heard about. Usually it's green or brown. It's not this beautiful, brilliant blue like you see in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was worth the price of admission right there.
Excellent. And so it sounds like you really spent your Castaway Key day just totally chill.
Mm-hmm. You know, we thought about one of my boys and I were thinking about doing parasailing, and I think we thought the better of it when we saw how windy it was. We were just going to book it on board the ship.
Right.
But with it being so windy that first night, we decided, yeah, that might not be a good idea. And maybe we'll do it another time, but it was great. It was just really great to just spend the day on the beach being chill.
Right.
Have a drink, take a nap, listen to the waves. Like I said, the temperature was perfect. The airflow was perfect. There was a little bit of sunshine, a little bit of clouds every now and then. Couldn't ask for better.
Awesome. So covered ports, we've covered dining, we've covered entertainment experiences. Anything that, you know, really stands out in your mind about this trip that we haven't addressed yet?
I would say, if I can add anything to this, is the whole Pirate Night experience.
Oh, sure. Talk about that a little more. Because here's the thing. I think a lot of people hear about Pirate Night and their immediate reaction is, oh, that's really cool for little kids. And I'm interested to hear your take on Pirate Night with an older group, you know, of adults and older teens.
Having done this before, you know, having been there for it once and seeing what it's all about last year, we were prepared this year. I actually had a full-blown costume. And my wife had found, I cannot believe how this woman can resource clothes the way she can, but she had found these baggy cotton pants and this shirt that looked like, I mean, she was a classic pirate wench, and yet at the same time, she could probably wear this stuff to work if she wanted to, you know, it's kind of a crossover outfit. It's like, where do you come up with this stuff? But, you know, we didn't know better the first year, but this year we came prepared. We were ready to dress out, you know, be pirates along with the kids. And there is nothing wrong, nothing at all wrong with letting out the little kid in yourself on a night like that, where everybody is getting into the pirate swing. You know, you got of course you can't take cutlasses or guns or anything like that, but you can definitely dress the part. I had a little makeup on, just saying. Anyway,
playing the role of Captain Guyliner.
Guyliner, Captain Guyliner, aka anyway. Yeah. So, you know, getting to experience that and just, you know, it's not like I got out in the middle of the deck and danced with the rest of the kids, but it was fun just being part of the environment. And, you know, elevator door opens, ding, here's a little kid that comes on and you're dressed up like a pirate. And they're like, oh, I just love that whole experience. It's fun for me. It's not in a weird way. It's just fun. You know, it's the little kid in me getting the opportunity to come out, which it doesn't get to a whole lot these days. So you get to the party and, you know, you've got Mickey and Donald and the crew teaching you all the aspects of being a pirate. And then Captain Hook comes out and challenges you and all that happy stuff like that. It's just so much fun. You just participate, you play along. And if you let yourself not take yourself too seriously and you play along, it's a great time. And then you finish it off with the fireworks. The wind was nothing that night, so the fireworks were perfect. It was a really tremendous experience.
Awesome. So I like the way you put that, that Pirate Night really is an opportunity for adults to get to be kids. And isn't that a big part of why we as adults keep coming back to Disney Destination Vacations, right?
Thank you. That's exactly right.
So, all right. Well, you know, Tim, thanks so much for coming back on the show and talking to us about yet another permutation of a great, different, family vacation, getting away at a Disney destination. Looking forward so much to hearing back about the next one as well.
Oh, yeah, it's always my pleasure. And the next one will probably be a DDCC 6 report. I'm just saying.
We'll hold you to that.
Well, you know, it was fun this past year at DDCC 5 getting to a lot of the dads would live stream from time to time. And every time I would see anybody on live stream, I would jump on and, you know, talk to them, go to them a little bit, if you will. I got to take part in the big family barbecue thing. So, you know, from Colorado anyway.
Right.
That was great, but it's not ever the same as being there and experiencing it. So I'm looking forward to that too. So
that's right. You can't taste Carl's butt from Colorado.
That's right. Not that I'm necessary when it takes curls, but just saying. But I hear he's retired from barbecuing his butt for the get togethers.
Well, that's what he says.
That's what he says.
We'll see.
You yeah. can't stop cooking with Carl. Hey, Carl. Say hi to us. Anyway.
All right.
So, hey, thanks for letting me be on the show and gab for an hour about my experiences. It's always good to relive the experience.
Always fun to talk to you, Tim.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation. Right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. Never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.